Welcome, welcome. Thank you, God, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We trust, Lord Jesus, as we preach to the empty pews, but full hearts that will listen later. I just pray, Lord God, that you'll continue to grow us up, to build us up, and to edify us through your word. We're so grateful that we can rely on you, that you are from everlasting to everlasting, that you are God. And we know that this too will pass as far as COVID-19 and this lockdown and this time period where we're asked to have no gatherings and to social distance and physically distance from one another. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we can have full hearts and closeness to each other. We're so grateful, God, that we can keep worshiping you, and that the church is not the building, but the church is your people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This week, there were a number of losses. Yesterday, there was a national record for COVID-19 deaths. It's more than there's ever been, and that hurts. And we're prayerful that this trend will not continue on an upward trend, but will peak and start heading down. And we're just asking, Lord Jesus, that you continue to work us through this and guide us to turn toward you and to love you more, to recognize that even in times of trial, especially in times of trial, you are God and you are the one that we need to turn to. In addition to all the COVID news and deaths and whatnot, there's been other losses. Cindy Hiley is a missionary wife down in California, and she lost her dad this week. He passed away on Friday. So be in prayer for Clint and Cindy Hiley and their family. And then another individual that died Monday this week is Bill Withers. And some of the songs you'd probably remember are Ain't No Sunshine, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. Ooh, so you'd recognize that for sure. Use Me, Lean On Me, Just the Two of Us. And then one of my favorites of his is Grandma's Hands. Thank you, Jesus. I know a lot of you have been nurtured by grandmas, been loved by grandmas over the years. And Bill Withers wrote a song about how his grandma would clap in church to the songs and that he would be steered towards Jesus by his grandma and that he would be loved in a lot of different ways. She would try to help ease the discipline of some of the others in his life and try to just be there for him, to help him and care for him and nurture him. And he was very appreciative of that. The last couple lines of the song, if I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hands. And I'm just hopeful that he and his grandma have had a good reunion. And for those of us that are missing grandparents, parents, and whatnot, I just know that there will be a time where we can embrace again, a time where we can be close again, and just be in prayer for those that are having loved ones pass and only the nurses and doctors are able to be there to comfort them. Be in prayer for those that right now are separated on this Palm Sunday from those that they love. It's interesting that on Palm Sunday there was a huge crowd, and it was reported in John chapter 12, and I'm going to try to read the verses if I can see through my tears. John 12, starting with verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." That was Palm Sunday. I'm just prayerful that the whole world will go after him again. But it's interesting how quickly circumstances changed. Within a week, the shouts and cries for Hosanna, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," turned to "Crucify him, crucify him." Same crowds. And yet, God promises that he's going to take and turn all things to good for those that love him. He's going to take hope out of dismay when we think it's the darkest hour. That's when we know that God can and will lift us up out of our trouble, out of our trials, out of our problems. And so I so look forward to that and am hopeful. The sermon today, which will come after the announcements I'm going to give and whatnot, is going to be from Ephesians again, and it's going to be about the words that come out of our mouths, and I think it'll be an opportunity where we can just reflect on how good God is and how his words bring life, his words bring hope. If you're able to open the sermon notes online today, you'll see that your names are on the pews and you're in our hearts. So happy Palm Sunday. There's also a little cartoon that says, it looks like it's Moses with the Ten Commandments. He's standing with the tablets and looking up at a cloud. And he's saying to the cloud, you think we need something in here about preachers ignoring a pandemic and putting lives at risk? And the cloud says back to him, "Nah, nobody's that stupid." For the rest of the announcements, all gatherings are on hold right now as we wait for our government to release us back into gatherings and with new regulations and a new normal, whatever that's going to look like. We're just excited and prayerful that that'll happen soon. Because of that, the offering box that's on the wall that isn't very accessible, and so anybody that wants to send an offering, you can mail that to Skycomish Community Church, P.O. Box 56, Skycomish, Washington, 98288. I'm not saying that as a plea or a beg for money. God has cared for this church so well during the month of March, even when we were social distancing. God took care that people would find ways to cover the ministry, and everything's being taken care of and needs are being met. So thank you for that, everyone. The prayer spotlight this week is Jim and Michelle Laxon. They're in Lake California, California. And Lake California Community Church is in a gated community. It's a population of about 3,500 people, 20 miles southeast of Redding, California. That'd be like Cottonwood. The community consists of all economic levels and age groups. The church has an average attendance of, when they are allowed to attend, of about 125, and they draw 15% of their attenders from outside the gated community. And they are the only church in that 3,500 member gated community. They're currently preparing to build their own church ministry facility. Right now they're meeting in the local clubhouse, community clubhouse. They have seven couples or families from the Paradise Campfire with varying levels of PTSD. You remember a few years back that Paradise Campfire swept through Northern California and wiped out large sections of community. Well, a number of those families attend Lake California Community Church. Pray for wisdom in ministering to them, and also pray for continued development of leadership. And pray for faithfulness and unity of the body of Christ in spiritual growth and witness to the community. And if you're interested in sending them a word of encouragement or anything, the address will be on the notes, so you can send that down there to Cottonwood. Thanks. So we're moving into the sermon. I'm reminded, you know, that the crowds that followed Jesus around were somewhat fickle. And it seemed to be able to turn on a dime. It was, you know, we love you, feed us. Oh, you're so mean, why don't you give us what we want? And they just kind of go back and forth. And we need to be careful how we approach God and just keep on appreciating Him for who He is. Part of today's message will be thankfulness, and we can certainly look at ways that we can be thankful with our mouths, with our tongues, in our speech. Romans 8:28 does tell us that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And we're just reminded He keeps bringing hope out of dismay. We can feel like things are downhill, and God is good, and He knows how to speak truth in love to us and teach us how to speak truth to love in others. Speak truth in love to others. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And if you think about that verse and meditate on it a little bit, where my mind goes is back to Genesis chapter 1. When it says, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Genesis chapter 1 is the story of creation, and it says a number of times in Genesis chapter 1, and God said, and when God spoke, things came into existence. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then God created everything with just a word, and he spoke things into life, into existence. And if we think about the Lord giving wisdom and from His mouth coming knowledge and understanding, you could recognize you can learn of God just from looking at what He's created. There's wisdom, there's knowledge in creation, and that's, you know, that the whole concept of science, where you're doing observation of what God has created and tried to make sense out of it, and you can come to some great knowledge, great understanding, the deeper you look, the more you observe. In Ephesians, and we're there now. Introduction is over. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 1, but today's text is verse 4. Ephesians 5:1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Other translations would say, be imitators of God. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Today's text. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So going back to chapter 4, in chapter 4, verse 29, we were reminded, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So he's already covered this concept of unwholesome talk, and now he's saying, yeah, there shouldn't be any coarse joking, foolish talk, obscenity. All of our words should have purpose. All of our words should be spoken to the purpose of building up and edifying and lifting up those around us, those that are listening. In Ephesians 4, the concept of putting off the old and being made new in the attitude of your mind and then putting on the new is continued in chapter 5 here, where we're putting off obscenity, we're putting off foolish talk, we're putting off coarse jesting, coarse joking, and we're putting on thanksgiving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, there's both kind of parallel passages. They're talking about a conversation where you're looking at people that have both good and bad coming out of their mouths and how this shouldn't be and how we should be able to kind of be fruit inspectors and look and see, you know, what is really in someone's heart. Well, it tells us that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Or another way of putting that, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have in our hearts certain things, and our mouth ends up being kind of a tattletale on our heart. It shows what's really in there. And I wish that I could say, wow, I've really learned all these lessons, and I never have any problem with what I speak, and I'm always speaking words of encouragement, and if somebody mistreats me, I just, you know, treat them with love and thanksgiving and gratitude, and that's not true. I wish I could say that. And it's just another reminder here that these things, foolish talk, obscenity, coarse joking, and that foolish talk could encompass an awful lot of things. They're out of place in God's holy people. They're improper for God's holy people. They're not right. And yet, we go there. Our mouths, if we get frustrated or upset with somebody, a spouse, a person that we're working with, in a business or on the telephone or you get a telemarketer calling you, or some politician wants to try to, you know, get you to do something for them, and they're calling, and you're getting recorded messages and stuff. And I can even be rude and talk mean to a recording. and I find myself knowing that these are out of place for me. And yet, how do you take care of that? Well, the attitude of my mind has to change. Somehow, how do I change the attitude of my mind to thinking more positive thoughts? Think of like Psalm 37, for example. It's kind of, you know, don't worry, be happy. There's a lot in there about how we can delight ourselves in the Lord. He'll give us the desires of our heart. And if we're constantly thinking negative thoughts, we're not delighting in God. We're not at peace with Him. So, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. James is a little bit more blunt about it than the Gospels were. In chapter 3 of James, he says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Verse 2 is the verse you'll find on the PowerPoint that when you bring up the notes, it says, "We all stumble in many ways." I don't know if that should bring us comfort or disgust. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And then James goes on to talk about bits in horses' mouths or the rudder on a ship, and how a small thing like the tongue can control a pretty large amount of something. And if we can't control our tongue, the rest of us is going to be falling away as well. And so finding, how do we do that? Well, in Ephesians, we're told, put away all of this bad talk and put on edifying, building up, wholesome talk. Put on thanksgiving. So we're overcoming evil with good. Proverbs 21:23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. If we want to guard our mouths in our own strength, we're probably going to fail. I think we all want that outcome. We want to keep ourselves from calamity. We don't want to go around leaving a trail of brokenness and strife behind us. We don't want to live a life where our tongues are getting us in trouble and causing us grief and creating division in the body of Christ. And we can determine in our minds that we're not going to do this, we're not going to do this. But if we don't replace it with something good, edifying speech, proper thoughts, renewing of our minds, thankfulness, gratitude, if we're not recognizing that we have so much to be thankful for, even in the worst of times, we have a great deal to be thankful for. And as we train ourselves to do that, Proverbs 21:23 can become possible with the power of God, with Jesus Christ. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. And then you go to Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If we want to guard ourselves from calamity, if we want to guard our tongues, guard our mouths, we've got to recognize that it's going to be the peace of God that guards our hearts. The peace of God guards our minds. If my heart is guarded by the peace of God, then out of the overflow of my heart, it's going to come peaceful, positive, edifying, uplifting, thankful words. We are to, according to Philippians 4:6, not be anxious about anything. This is a time period where it would be real easy if you just watched the news long enough. If you weren't anxious when you started watching, you would be by the time you're done. Unless, as you watch the news, and I'm not telling you not to. I think, you know, if it's not healthy for you, get away from it. I understand that, but there's a time to actually, you know, lean into hardship and trials and troubles and do that with prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Are you in a situation? In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God wants to hear what's troubling us. God wants to hear what's creating situations in our lives. God wants to know what's on our hearts. And He, when we bring our petitions to Him, when we bring our prayers, our requests to God, when we do that with thanksgiving, knowing that He will answer, He will do above and beyond anything we can ask or imagine, the peace of God that's transcending all understanding, that peace of God that makes no sense, that peace of God that is bigger and greater than we could ever imagine, that will guard our hearts. That will guard our minds. And then we can continue the cycle of building and edifying. So going back to Ephesians 5:4, today's text, nor really does connect to the verse before that. So obviously you need to look at, you know, what was just before that. Well, it was among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, because these are improper for God's holy people. They're out of place. What do we replace all of these things with that we're taking out of our lives? We replace them with thanksgiving. If you don't think you have something to be thankful for, go back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, and take your anxieties and cast them on the Lord. Give him all your troubles in every situation. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge God. He'll make your paths straight. He's the one that will bring us to that place of thanksgiving. He's the one that will bring us to the place of peace. And in closing, I'm going to go back to Ephesians 3. And rather than singing the doxology solo or even a duet, I'm just going to read a passage here. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."